the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, and the 19th verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, the Epistle to the Philippians, and the 19th verse. What a wonderful favor it is when a poor sinner, taught of God out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth can speak concerning that God with whom he has to do. And especially to take up this language such as the Apostle Paul uses at this time. My God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Mark how that is worded. There are words heaped together as Paul often was inspired of God to do, and they have a deep down meaning. I read it again, but my God shall supply all your need according to what your need is. No. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, which means that your need will be supplied full and free and flowing o'er. And now I want, as the Lord should help me, to look at the subject from two or three viewpoints of it, and it seems to have welled up in my mind as the subject to bring before you. But I want, first of all, as you all know is my usual method of approaching the subject, to look at the setting of it, because there is much that is instructive in the setting of it. The Apostle Paul was very much attached to the church at Philippi, and as he was inspired of God to pen this epistle to them, I have no doubt whatever he went back in his mind to how he was led of God to go to preach there. When you will remember, it is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles that he set out on one of his missionary journeys, and his mind was to go here and then there. But you read what a strange language. We were forbidden by the word of God to preach the word in Asia. And then he says, we essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered us not. And then the Apostle Paul was favored with a vision wherein he saw a man of Macedonia beckoning, saying, come over and help us. And then he records it, assuredly gathering that was the will of the Lord for us to do, he journeyed on and was found at Philippi. And I need not take up the time in telling you how he was helped of God for Lydia, who heard the gospel with power and authority, whose heart the Lord opened, and she was baptized and became the first member of the Church of Christ at Philippi. And then later there was the Philippian jailer also added to the church. And here is the language the Apostle Paul uses. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. A great statement, dear friends. And it could not be made of every so-called Church of Christ, that all whose names are on the church roll have also got their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But at this time, as the Apostle Paul penned this epistle, he had that wondrous confidence, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. All sheep and no goats, all wheat and no tares. You may say, how could it be that the Apostle Paul could feel like that and be so sure and express such a confidence? The dear man tells us, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. The dear man judged according to how he felt. And I can tell you this, that those whom God ordains to preach can tell by how they preach often what the people are like to whom they preach to. And if the word of God is received with appreciation, and if there is a concern to hear what God the Lord will say, I have preached like that, shall I say, thousands of times, and thankful to be able to say it, to know that the word of God was indeed having free course, and to prove, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yes. And so the Apostle Paul had a very special feeling toward this Church of Christ at Philippi. And he says also in our opening word in the chapter, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Do see what a wonderful feeling there was existing between the apostles in the days in which they lived and the churches which were ordained of God to be built under their ministry, and how they felt to those who were on the church rolls there. Dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. What he means there is that they would be at the last day his joy and crown, because the church at Philippi was built as the outcome of the Apostle Paul's labors there. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And I must remind you of this word here. This church at Philippi was in a good state. It was really prosperous. But there was just one little matter that needed to be sorted out before God. And so this word is recorded. I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I could not tell you along my long ministerial life how often I have admired the Apostle Paul in how that is worded. And yet he was inspired by the Spirit of God to put it down as it is. And do you ponder it in your hearts. He does not say, I beseech you, Odias, that she go at once and humble herself before Syntyche and apologize. Or the other way round, that Syntyche should do it to you, Odias. No. He just brings them down to bedrock. Truth. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Oh, you know, sometimes people, especially people of strong characters, and not fitting any caps on, but you have heard them say, and so have I always speak my mind. Oh, but if you do you be sure it is the mind of the Lord what you speak for, and not just what you think, and perhaps what you have not really balanced up in your judgment to give a right view of what you talk about. I do admire this. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. The meaning is, you, Adias and Syntyche, both of you, get together and get down on your knees before God and pray one for another, and then you will be able to say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Whoever is the wrong, they will be of the same mind in the Lord when that business is done before God. Do remember that. If that had been attended to down through the years of a church state, there would have been much less church trouble, as it is called, than there has been, alas, in the Church of Christ round about and farther abroad. Everything hinges to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then there is another thought I want to emphasize here, for it much impressed me when I lighted on it. And now the Apostle Paul, he commends these godly Philippians because when he was in need, and he often was in need in varied places, but such was their love that they sought him out where he was and sent somewhat to help him in his necessities. And he speaks here, do listen, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Dear friends, do you realize that Epaphroditus journeyed between 500 and 600 miles from Philippi to get to Rome, where the Apostle Paul was, and to carry this love gift and token of their feeling toward him still? You just read it as it is recorded, but if you like to look it up on the map, you will find I have told you what is the truth. It is at least between 500 and 600 miles from Philippi to Rome, where the Apostle Paul was at this time, dwelling in his own hired house. And it must have been a great comfort to Epaphroditus, who seems to have been somewhat like unto a pastor at Philippi, to go on that way and conduct that mission. I have no doubt whatever he took great pleasure in it, and God took pleasure in it too. And then the Apostle Paul sums it all up, although he lays down a line of things that you and I do not know very much about. I wish that you and I did know more about it from one or two viewpoints. Not that I want you to be in need, deep down need, like the Apostle Paul was. But the dear man says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Dear friends, maybe you have not known much of what it is in later years to be hungry or to suffer need. But in earlier years, some of us did know that line of things, especially in our childhood years, although our godly father and mother did their very best for us, but there were times when provisions were scarce and very dear to obtain. And it needs much grace then to live the life of the righteous, and to learn this lesson, to abound and to suffer need. How can it be done? You cannot do it on your own initiative. No, you will kick it, having to do it at all, if you think your own thoughts about it. But if you should be taught of God, there is a way whereby you can do it and scrape the bottom of the barrel and find a handful of meal every day you go. And the harder you scrape the bottom of the barrel, the more the letters will stand out. The Lord will provide. Yes, this is the way. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then he commends these godly Philippians for communicating with him in his affliction. And then, as was his wont to do, he sums it all up in the subject I have read, and from which I hope grace will be given to say just a little to you to help you. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There is one thing which almost throughout my ministerial life, I hope I can say this before God, has much impressed me, and sometimes it has amazed me. And that is that God, being who he is, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. But in the word of his grace you will find that he condescends to call some of his people, to whom he showed his special favor, by their names. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that seems to me an amazing condescension. And remember that Elijah was taken home to heaven, having his master's mantle as he stood before Jordan, he struck the waters and inquired, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And he found he was there to appear on his behalf and to divide the waters that Elisha could go over, so that it was seen that the mantle of Elijah had fallen upon Elisha. But you find often in the Word of God these instances where God condescends to call some of his people by their names. And I have thought, what a sweet word that is. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Oh, she never forgot that incident as long as she lived. And surely her redeemed spirit remembers it in heaven, as she gazes upon the Lamb upon his throne, that when he was on earth as verily man, he addressed her and called her by her name, Mary. And now there is another thought I want to put into words to give you a right viewpoint of this subject, because you might think, and I must put you on your guard as the Lord should help me to do it, you might think, oh, I wish God would be pleased to do that for me and call me by my name. Well, you must not forget that in the world at the present time, there are quite a few people who are named Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I have known one or two named Elijah. And as for Marys, there seems to be a wonderful number who were named Mary. And now, how are you to know that if God should speak to one named Mary, that it will be you he is referring to? Listen to this word here. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. thou art mine. Dear friends, you must learn your interest in the things of God from this viewpoint, and not be concerned exactly that God should do for you what he did for some people in the word of his grace when he called them by their names. When all is said and done, what could be more helpful to you and more encourage you to hope in God than for you to be able to feel like the Apostle Paul did when he said, "My God." And now that is what you want to realize deep down, and out of the abundance of the heart for the mouth to speak. It is not so much that God shall address you by your name. As a matter of fact, he has addressed many of you by your name. And do you recognize it? Your name is sinner. Yes. And he speaks to you, being who you are, as a sinner, and encourages you to wait on him as the sinner's friend. Yes. Oh, dear friends, oh, that you and I might have this sweet, blessed assurance. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let us look at it from another viewpoint. Your need. My God, your need. And there is a guarantee that your need shall be supplied, whatever it may be, according to his riches in glory. The meaning is, in the idiom of it, is glorious riches. By Christ Jesus. And now, when you begin to think of what is your need, you hardly know how to begin or how to end. If you ponder the subject to write, your need, being who you are, a poor sinner journeying through life with a never-dying soul, to an eternal destiny, either heaven or hell, your need, if you are a sinner born again, will be very great in your soul's estimation. And your need, first of all, will be opened up to you when you are a sinner born again, that you need a Savior. And a Savior who is mighty to save such a sinner as you feel to be. A Savior and a great one, as you read in Isaiah. And now this great need, good if it is your need of a Savior. God has supplied such an one. Blessed be his name. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And in that Savior, there is all your need that will help you to feel as you want to feel, that you are indeed a sinner, saved by grace. But then you will feel also your need is not only of a Savior, as I said, and a great one. You need one to teach you the things of God, for you cannot learn these things by dint of intellectual study or education. In that you are made aware of. And so you need one who shall lead you into the truth. And that need is supplied. Blessed be God. I think that is one of the most wonderful words in the Word of God, where it speaks about that ye being able to do what you can for your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? There is the Holy Spirit, and you do feel to need His aid. More and more as you journey on through life and are led into the truth, will you need divine aid to understand it and to reduce it to practice. Wonderful it is that the Holy Spirit's help is to be had at any time, anywhere. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. None teacheth like Him. And dear friends, do suffer a word of exhortation. Do have sure work before God that He is your teacher, and that you have not just grown up in religion, in hearing the gospel preached from baby days onwards, and gathered together some outline of it as to its doctrine. Do you make sure that you have got that secret something which must be known and felt? Then you can say with John, that which we have tasted, handled and felt of the good word of life, declare we unto you. But my God shall supply all your need. Your need of being led into the things of God more deeply as you desire. Many of you, all of you who are taught of God, need to go deeper down into the things of God than you have already gone. I keep looking at one scripture. I hope I might be helped to preach from it ere I die. But oh, it is a great scripture, dear friends, to try to preach from. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And now that is just what you and I, as sinners born again, desire to do. It is very alluring, but alas, we so often seem so shriveled up in our soul's experience that we can tell very little about what it is to grow in grace. And yet we do desire to take root downward and bear fruit upward. Yes. Quickened by thee and kept alive, I'd flourish and bear fruit. My life I'd from thy sap derive, my vigour from thy root. But my God shall supply all your need. And now you need also not only a Saviour and the Holy Spirit to make Him known to your soul's peace and profit, but you need a mediator, one who shall appear on your behalf when you appear before God. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Sometimes you have this thought, how can I, being the sinner that I know I am, and you can sum it up with, as you look within, that you are just wicked. Not that you are wicked in your life, but wicked inside, which you know every man, the plague of his own heart. How can such a sinner as I appear before God? Oh, the dear Saviour said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you can appear before God just as you are. And how? That rich atoning blood which sprinkled round I see provides for all who come to God and all prevailing flee. My God shall supply all your need as to how you can approach His holy majesty. Blessed be His name. He has supplied it. There is Jesus Christ at God's right hand. And what does it say in one psalm, in the concluding word? For He shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that would condemn his soul. And if sometimes in your approaches to God you feel I would but cannot pray, do remember what godly John says. My little children, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And what do you sing sometimes? It is a beautiful setting forth of truth, founded on right. Thy prayer avails. The Father smiles on thee. And now thou in thy kingdom art, dear Lord, remember me. Yes. This is the way, dear friends. Walk ye in it as grace is given. But my God shall supply all your need. And now, you need one thing that will give you unspeakable happiness. Some of you, I trust, have known it and felt the happiness in the possession of it. Some of you are still longing for it and hoping the day will dawn when you will be granted that happiness. Through this man, there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Is that your need? Is that your need which you lay before God day by day, week in, week out? Forgiveness of sins, that you might taste the bliss of it and feel that matters are right between your soul and God? What does this word tell us? But my God shall supply all your need, not according to how you feel about it. You feel depth of mercy. Can there be mercy for a wretch like me? But the word of God says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Then your need will be this. And remember, I'm addressing you at the present time who are taught of God. There is a guarantee that your need shall be supplied, whatever it may be, as God sees good for you and for his glory. And now you and I do need grace, all sufficient. And strange to say, there does not seem to come a time in our lives when we feel we are otherwise than having grace all sufficient. You will never have any grace to spare. No sinner taught of God will possess any surplus grace, any reserve of it. Grace that will help you to begin tomorrow, when today is done. No, no. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And this word is to be lived out by you and me. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I have often admired one hymn writer's lines, where he says, Jesus is the way of strength, yet the strong this way can't come, and the Lord will prove at length, weaklings have the victory won. Yes, when I am weak, then am I strong. because then you're dependent on God. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? But my God shall supply all your need. And then you need righteousness. Otherwise, how can you appear before God when you die? Unless you have got that best robe put upon you and made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. Made fit to be the guest of God, as one hymn writer says. And another says this, and it is beautiful language, unless the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found, he took the robe the Saviour wrought and spread it all around. The righteousness which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ. My God shall supply all your need of it, poor sinner. If you in your approaches to God approach him like this, naked I come to thee for dress. Do believe it. Then you and I need wisdom. Oh, how much you need it. The wisdom that is from above. Wisdom for everyday life, whereby you can do what the word of God declares. He that handleth matters wisely shall find good. And you do need to handle matters wisely, whatever the matters may be. Otherwise, there will not be the working out of those matters for good. You do want them to fall out for your good and the glory of God with whom you have to do. And what does the word of God tell us? If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Yes, my God shall supply all your need. Then you need help, and you are never really without it. I know you may often feel helpless, but underneath, if you could only by living faith behold it, you would see underneath are the everlasting arms, and help is forthcoming. However helpless you feel to be, you might be helpless, you should not be hopeless. Because the word of the Lord is, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And that help will be supplied, as God sees in his wisdom, to be suitable for our circumstances, whatever they may be. If it should be powerful help that is needed, he will not fail to supply it. It will be timely help. It will not be too late. It will be the help of God. Then you will be able to say, my God. But my God shall supply all your need. And look how this is worded. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But there is one other thought comes to my mind. Your need. And don't you balk at this viewpoint that I'm going to put forth in the sermon. Your need. My need too. Sometimes is the rod to chasten us and to bring us back to where we ought to be before God, to humble us and bring us down to be like the man in the gospel, sitting down at Jesus' feet clothed and in a right mind. There is a word in Jeremiah which says, I will bring you under the rod into the bond of the covenant. And you know, dear friends, you are not always well behaved. Neither is the pastor either. There are some times when I should not like you to know what my inside feelings are, although I hope my outside deportment is consistent as it should be and becoming. But inside sometimes I feel very unparsonic. And now the Lord knows all about that. And if you should sometimes feel fretful, murmuring, rebellious, through the dealings of God being with you what they are, and you find your spirit is unsubmissive, you will find then your need will be supplied. And he who supplies your need will be your heavenly Father. Yes. And he will teach you this scripture like he taught me a long time ago. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And I can tell you this, how glad you will be if you can find you can repent. It is not easy to repent. You cannot do it on your own initiative. But if God should help you to do it, there is something in that repenting that is very blessed. And strange to say, while it is bitter, it is also sweet. Yes, repentance unto life, godly sorrow for sin. When you can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God in all his dealings with you and feel it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Glad you are that your need is supplied at such a time, because it brings you into this scripture. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. It is a great thing to be able to look back over life's journey and see just here and there a sanctified trouble which has brought you to have to do with God, and you can declare the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Yes, but my God shall supply all your need. I must soon come to the amen. But just look at this word in here. Remember what I said at the outset. He will supply your need not according to what your need is exactly as you view it, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now think of those riches, glorious riches. And it says, by Christ Jesus. And now there you find another scripture which it is good to call to mind sometimes, and better still to seek grace to reduce it to practice. Says Paul to the godly Ephesians, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a great doxology that is. Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And this is how he does it. According to his riches. And he has made millions of sinners saved by grace. Yea, hundreds of millions of sinners saved by grace, rich to all the intents of bliss. And they are dwelling in the realms of bliss as redeemed spirits. But there has been no diminution of his riches. No. A fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. Do remember that. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And it says in the Ephesians epistle, unsearchable riches. Had the time allowed, I would have said a little of the riches of his ability. And remember, his riches are unsearchable as to his ability, able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God in Jesus' name. Not only so, there are the riches of his authority. Because he has authority, as you read in that beautiful Gospel of John, which I like to call the Holy of Holies chapter, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Riches of authority, riches of love, riches of comfort, riches of willingness. Yes, he is able, and blessed be God, he is willing. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. And I might add this, there are riches, unsearchable riches of peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. According to your need. And it says in this same beautiful chapter, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now you see, dear friends, this just exemplifies another scripture that you read in the second epistle of Timothy, or the first epistle. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come. And what you and I need is to be brought to where one hymn writer was brought to. And he was in a sweet, blessed frame of mind when he was helped to compose it. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. Thine alone be all the glory. All things else are dung and dross. Thee we own, a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good, and every grace and every favour flows to us through Jesus' blood. And then to think, it is given to poor sinners, like some of you, and I hope, like the preacher too, to address such an one the majesty of heaven. My God, if as yet you cannot climb to that height, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen.